Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big evening, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight, bringing a very special guest all the way from New York, New York. Xavier Paul, are you there?
I am most certainly here. Thank you so much for including me on your show.
Well, before we get this show started, we need for everybody to know how they can reach you.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure to let you know that you can reach me in a few different ways. The quickest and easiest and most fun way is logging on to www.coolvoiceradio.com. That's www.coolvoiceradio.com.
Great, and you have a great site. Now, we've had a couple of people on here who have done voiceovers, but yours kind of stick out. It's just, you know, and everybody has a great voice, which I'm sure our listeners can hear, you know, how well your voice is at this moment. But you wanted to come on our show to talk about a lot of different type of things, as well as how you got started in the voiceover business.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think that now is really the time. Now that I'm sure you've heard the party line, oh, the economy, oh, the recession, and urban radio is over, black radio is over, and everything, all this negative stuff related to media and black folks. And I'm here to say that there's a whole new opportunity for us to do something incredible, for us to take back the buying power as black consumer market and black media personnel, that more than ever before, we can take this as an opportunity to do so and not fall into the pit of negativity. So that's really the thrust of my message today.
Wow, and that's truly what a big thinker would come on here and say, because so many people look at these rates we're in as an economy and as a nation as whole, and they're focusing so much on the negative things that they're not looking at all of the opportunities around them. One of the questions that I have for you is, you know, let's say, how about our image as far as ethnic minorities changed in the media over the last 10 years?
Oh, wow. What an amazing question to tackle, because, you know, I started about 10 years ago as an actor, on-air host, stand-up comedian, and radio personality. If you remember, during the mid-90s, early to mid-90s, it seemed like it was the time to be black on television. It was the time to be black and funny on television. You had Living Color, you had Uptown Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, The Living Color was my favorite.
Okay. We had Uptown Comedy Club, a comedy show that I guest starred on Fox TV. Okay. We had Apollo Comedy Hour, you know, sketch comedy from, you know, the world-famous Apollo Theater. And then, of course, on cable, we had Russell Simmons' Def Jam Comedy. You know, all this happening at one time, okay? Out of that explosion came stars like Dave Chappelle, Martin Lawrence, Bill Bellamy, even Robin Harris, if you remember. That's going perhaps a little further back, like 89.
Bebe's Kids. I mean, who didn't love Robin?
Okay, what a talent. Okay, I actually had a tiny little itsy-bitsy extra part in Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, and Robin Harris, you know, of course, he was one of the guys on the corner, so we spent the whole summer just, you know, hanging out with Robin Harris and having him snap on us, and then having Spike Lee say, get it together, we got a movie to shoot here. And actually, when you watch that movie, the hot son was actually a character in the movie, because, I mean, he really created a block in Brooklyn that, you know, was so real that, I mean, even if you had no speaking parts, I mean, a speaking line, you believed being on that block at doing the right thing.
Wow. Yeah, that was a movie that kind of hit home. And here being in Chicago, just, you know, a lot of movies from different states are just, you know, when you watch them, it's almost as if you're on your own block, just seeing how people relate. And it's, you know, lends since we all are a lot of different areas of the country.
There you have it. There you have it. I mean, it was such an exciting time, you know, to begin my career and to start becoming more active in the media arena, a career that has been incredible for me and really rewarding. Yet I feel
now,
like
I have a question, and it's going to go back because normally we our guests as far as where you come from, where you've been. Why don't you share a little bit of your past, you know, with us that led to, you know, where you're at and what you're doing today?
Oh, absolutely. Well, how far back would you like me to go? I mean, should we go back to the schoolyard?
You know,
or
what? The very first thing you can remember, mine was, here's Johnny.
I always loved language. I always loved the sound, the audio, and the spoken word. I was like 10 years old. My brother was 5 years older than me. He had his own circle of friends. The way I would entertain myself was get a pocket tape recorder and sit in the corner and try to figure out how many different character voices I could do, how many different characters can I create a radio play with and have them all talk to each other, and then I'd play it back and crack myself up.
Wow.
And, you know, I challenged myself to make the characters and the story sound even more real and to make the voices more and more distinctive. Fast forward to the college years, majoring in drama, radio, TV communications, learning characterization, how actually to create a character, and then how to back that up with technical savvy, created and pretty much set my broadcast hosting career in motion. Doing television voiceovers, radio, working in every genre in voiceover from industrial to corporate. And it was really cool that you have voiceover people on your show because I feel like, you know, media, audio, and voice work is so much going to be a part of our reality in this new millennium. Everything from on-hold messaging, okay, to TV commercials, to radio imaging, to PowerPoint presentations at your job.
Right.
They're introducing perhaps a new software or a new protocol, and it's only going to increase. You know?
You know, and I believe that you're so absolutely right when it comes to that because I find myself not being able to read as much as I used to. So now I'll look for an audio book. I'll download the audio book to my iPod. And, you know, if I'm going somewhere and it's an hour drive or hour if I'm on public transportation, you know, I like to get that part out of me. So it's not the same as reading, but at the same time, you want to hear a clear voice. And when you were talking about the different characters that you used to do when you were a child, I see that you also had a part on Grand Theft Auto.
Oh yeah, that's exciting. Well, we figure the new video game explosion, because that's the best word to describe it—an absolute explosion. Rockstar Video Games got Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, Vice City to sell $250 million in pre-sales before the first game was sold. Okay, so the exposure from having done voices on Grand Theft Auto. In Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, I play a pedestrian that gets hit by a car in West Hollywood. Oh, and not true to life. That was acting, I promise. You know, although, you know, you get into that voice characterization.
Yeah.
I also did, I'm also doing voices on the new Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto 5, Grand Theft Auto V, I believe it's called. And that also, I'm picking up on that character, playing several characters in that. And that boils down to the real acting skills that I learned coming up. The other part of voiceover work isn't just having a clear voice that has versatility and range, it also being able to implement acting principles to deliver on a variety of moods and adjective choices based on what your client is looking for and what kind of emotion they want to instill in the listener.
Now, I know that that's not a you know, easy business to get involved with. So what would you say someone should consider before trying to even break into that type of business?
Well, I would say learn the basics of good business. And being an African-American who happens to be a voiceover talent has also given me a fresh perspective on Afro-American business, and then how to then translate that reality and those challenges into enhancing my career. Because, you see, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the opportunity here for us as Afro-Americans is to pick up the reins and actually command our market, our own market. The Koreans do it, the Chinese do it, the Jewish do it, the Latino community does it, okay? Like Dr. Claude Anderson says, you know, the Latino dollar exchanges hands amongst their own 5 or 6 times before it is exchanged outside of their community. Whereas African Americans, you know, we get a dollar and we're all already running up into some, you know, white guy's restaurant or whatever. You know, we're not putting the money back into our community, and in media we can change that. There's a sister in Cleveland, Ohio, is doing something wonderful. You know, the audiobook industry is like a $4 billion a year industry. Well, what she's doing is created a company called Hood Audio. She's taking all Afro-American books, all Afro-American titles, and branding them and targeting them and marketing them to the Afro-American community. I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, why should we have to wait for Audible.com to put out a Terry McMillan or what have you? We should be able to, we're writing the books, we should be able to buy them from ourselves.
You know, and something that you brought up there just made me also think about how a lot of people get into these minority markets after they see how much they can make. It's like they're overlooked, and then they'll say, wait a minute, we've got a whole other market here that we can tap into. Now let's go in and let's do a test, you know. And then once they do the test, they're like, okay, let's put this here, let's put that there. And that's a great idea that she is doing that. I've thought about in the past, you know, reading certain books, just starting a little blog talk radio show and then just reading a chapter from a book in the evening for, you know, some of my listeners who kind of like my voice, I'll say.
Yeah,
but that's a great idea.
Yeah, you've got a great sound, very versatile, and you know, it's time for us to take back our buying power. You know, Audible.com, a huge audiobook distributor and provider of audio as a narrator, certainly has been courting me as voice talent, and quiet as it's kept. They are desperately trying to break into and take advantage of and utilize the Afro-American market, you know. I say, you know, again, there's no reason why we should wait for them. You know, we can contact. I urge anyone listening right now to send me an email. Go to coolvoiceradio.com. Take a listen to my demos. Email me. I'm not just about, you know, working as a voice talent. I'm about creating new companies and new approaches to media. Okay, that will ensure the employment and the distribution, this is key, the distribution of our own unique content, okay, that comes out of the Afro-American community. Okay, we can't just give all of that money away. Don't you agree? Gosh.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. I feel that, you know, every person should take a bigger hand at their destiny and do things or network and market or get with people who are doing the same thing if you're following along the same path and make things happen. You know, that's kind of how we came together here at ThinkBigRadio.com. You know, we're all entrepreneurs and business owners and professionals throughout the country, but, you know, we had one specific dream that tied us together, was us to, you know, do the things that we do and you know, pretty much donate our time while we're still working on, you know, our big plan. But I love how, you know, we get these big thinkers on here, and they're just so expressive and you know, the way that you feel about your talent and the things that you want to do, it shows through. One of the things that I'd like to ask you about is, you know, how would you feel as an African-American man has the images of Obama, you know, affected us as far as being in TV commercials now and, you know, with having an African-American president?
Oh, wow, great question. I think it's going to serve us positively, not unlike the image of Obama that was sold to us, because, again, he's a politician, and there's a certain degree of the sell of his image to the American people that, you know, he was able to utilize and implement during the campaign trail. We will then now find our way into new images and more positive expressions of being African-American or being of color, so that I think you're going to see a more of a balance between how our masculinity as black men is expressed, you know, more of a balance from, you know, the hip-hop image, you know, the edgy, quote-unquote, hardcore gangster urban guy. And we know that we see quite a bit of that in TV commercials, in the media at large. Now, I think Obama is going to encourage a fresh approach. Not that we haven't always been here, yet I think now more than ever it's going to become cool to be a brother who has a command of the English language and feels confidently about speaking with distinction, and doesn't feel that doing so is some sort of slight to his masculinity or manhood, or that he's selling out as an African-American to his race by, you know, speaking as if he understands what he's saying and knows what he's talking about. Okay? That's something I believe as black men, we need to step up to the game and realize that it's not all about, you know, yeah, yeah, yo, bust it and hit it and snap it and pop it and hit it and flip it. And it's like, you know, come on. Snap out of it. Okay? We don't have it the way the white boys had it. We never did, and we never will. It's time for us to realize that, okay? I have a friend who's white. I say to him, you know, and he says to me, hey, come on, brother. Come on, man. Why don't you talk black? What's wrong with you? Why can't you just be cool? And I'm like, listen, don't get mad at me because I make more money sounding white than you do being white.
Oh, that's bad. That's awful.
You know,
you're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Mr. Paul, can you please get out your contact information again so that our listeners will be able to reach you?
It would be my pleasure. I so appreciate that opportunity, because there's nothing I like more than being contacted by my colleagues, future clients, and people who want to learn more about TV voiceovers, improving their speaking voice in general, because what I'm doing right now is offering a series of audio tutorials that will allow a person to improve on their speaking voice, to reduce regional accents, vocal problems like stammering and stuttering and such. And they can do that by going to my website, www.coolvoiceradio.com. www.coolvoiceradio.com. I'll spell that out. www.COOL, V as in Victor, O I C as in Charles, E, radio, radio.com. You can email me from there, peruse my demos and services I offer, or if you like, just give me a call at 646-326-7800. That's Xavier X-Men Paul at 646-326-7800.
Now, what would you say was the most fun that you've ever had doing voiceovers? What stands out in your mind is like, just, I'll never forget this moment?
Well, I would have to say working with Tyra Banks was, for me, an absolute career highlight. What a classy sister. Totally classy. I was the announcer on her campaign that she was doing for CoverGirl. Now, this goes back a few years. This was before the Tyra Banks show, before America's Top Model and such. And she was,
wow,
you know, just breaking out onto the scene, you know, just getting national presence. I think she'd done a movie, you know, a few talk shows here and there, and I was scheduled to do a voiceover. You know, my agent called, you know, the usual, oh, okay, I'm going in to do CoverGirl today. Great. So I got there. And then after about 20 minutes, and the engineer said, "Oh, there's a sister who's going to come by and record with you." I said, "Oh, you're fantastic." And in walks this drop-dead gorgeous sister, and we're chatting and talking. And only until later that I really realized, this is Tyra Banks. And then, of course, Tyra Banks really became Tyra Banks.
Right. And, before.
Very down to earth. Very, very real. That's one thing I think that marks a great media talent such as her. Very, very down to earth and a natural talent. Even her speaking voice, also very, very natural, very accessible. Okay, and she just has that great combination of education and street smarts. I love it.
Wow, that's great.
I love it. And what else? I could think, that would be the highlight. Who else have I worked with? I worked with the late Anthony Quinn. That was kind of fun.
Okay.
One of the great actors, of Hollywood yesteryear. And I did a few TV commercials with him. Before his death, he was doing a limited edition credit card called Private Issue. And I'd done worked with him on that. And I worked with various celebrities as an actor, everyone from... oh, gosh, David Mamet to Morgan Freeman. I had a small part in Lean on Me. Remember that movie Morgan Freeman did based on the life of Joe Clark, the real tough-as-nails Jersey City school principal, Morgan Freeman?
I just watched that. That's one of my favorite movies. Every time that's on and I get a chance to, I watch it.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a fun set to be on, and how amazing it was. I just remember the arguments that Morgan Freeman would get into with the director, John Anderson, and he would say, Clark wouldn't say it like that. Joe Clark wouldn't say it like that. He wouldn't do it like that. The Morgan Freeman, the consummate actor, okay, the consummate actor, really understanding his craft, passionate about it, and, being able to watch these greats at work. And let's face it, we lost one of the greats, the late Michael Jackson, okay? And for me, the way his death impacted me the most was in the acknowledgement of his solid work ethic, that solid work ethic that was instilled in him at a very young age during the Motown years, which was able to take him through his entire incredible, exceptionally incredible career. Okay, every one of the Jacksons, I believe, has been instilled with that work ethic. Look at Janet Jackson. I mean, what is she like in her 40s and still flipping around the stage like she's 19? I mean,
you stay in shape when you're performing like that. What was your very first job? I mean, when you decided that, from being a kid, you may have not thought about this as something that you wanted to do later in life, but you worked toward all of these different things. And these different talents, and through college, what was it like when you got your first job, your first paying voiceover job?
I didn't really have the self-confidence just yet. I didn't have the self-confidence. I didn't quite believe in how can I say this? I didn't quite understand how to apply what I had learned. You learn it in college, or you learn your craft or your trade in a school classroom setting, and then you go out into the real world. And then it's like you have the knowledge in your head, yet somehow it's not matriculating into the reality of the moment because of the issues of confidence or not quite knowing how to deal with tension. Being a performer, it's very much you're working with yourself, particularly as a voice performer or any kind of media-related, talent-related or talent-driven endeavor. It's about being able to put it in the room, put it into the moment. And it was a voiceover for Snapper Lawnmowers. I'll never forget it. Snapper Lawnmowers. And the copy was incredibly long. It was written for like 60 seconds, and it was really like a minute and 20 seconds long. Of course, now with the confidence and experience I have, I'd be able to deliver it. Yet I remember it was just a disaster. I mean, I hope this is inspiration for anybody listening. Is that if you're a singer, you might have a fantastic singing voice, but you might not sound all that great right now. It's okay, because the other half of this is the desire to really be good. I've always had a really strong desire to improve. To really get better, and it can happen. You can really improve and unleash your skills and talents and abilities, not just in the creative realm, but also in the business realm. Okay, and as an entrepreneur, look at Puffy. I mean, he's just grown and grown and grown. He's turned into himself into sort of the black male Martha Stewart, which is quite a visual, but you know, you understand my point in that. You know, we can improve. We can get better at what we do. You know, I will say this just to wrap up the answer to that question. I think our talent, particularly with us as African Americans, but history has shown that talent really is a dime a dozen. Here's what's rare: developed talent. Talent is really rare. You know, like I always say to my students, I also, you know, the courses I teach, you know, there's a huge difference between the brother who's just kind of shaking his booty to the beat in a dance club and an Alvin Ailey dancer.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You know, you're going to go to the Met and pay $55 to see the brother, you know, dance at the, be an Alvin Ailey dancer and show you his craft. Yet, you know, you might not pay the brother in the dance club to do that.
So when you decide to start this business, what did you view as a challenge?
The racism, the perceptions of the media industry, which is mostly white male, that I could only go so far and I could only be pigeonholed in the urban category. Okay.
Okay.
It's very important that we acknowledge what we're dealing with in terms of the realities of racism in the industry, and we do what Oprah Winfrey says is the best deterrent and response to it, which is absolute excellence. I know I'm absolutely great at what I do. I understand my business when it comes to voice work and performing up, down, in, out, backwards, in the dark, underwater, you name it, I can do it. You know, and so I'm pretty unstoppable. You know, I'm much more than, you know, some cool black guy. You know, I've worked in every genre of voiceover there is, from audiobooks to on-hold messaging to movie trailers to commercials. To, you name it, I've done it. Okay, and it's, you know, you need a lot more than, you know, just kind of a one delivery to do that. And the challenges I faced early on, or that, you know, a lot of people said to me, well, you know, there's only so much work you can do in voiceover, you know, because you're black. And, you know, we'll call you when we need, you know, a voice for a fried chicken commercial.
Oh, my God.
And I said, oh, no, you'll be calling me much more than that. And, you know, and I simply, you know, prove them wrong. You know, you have to back up your belief in yourself with solid marketing, you know, getting your – if you're a radio talent right now, I have a lot of colleagues in radio and people who may be listening right now who are in radio or in urban radio and would like to break into doing more voice work, because making a living as a on-air radio personality, it may be tough right now. Your station might have been sold. You might be laid off. I say arm yourself with solid voice training with a coach such as myself. Study with me or study with any one of the great coaches out here, and develop a strong demo. Break out of that radio station, radio on-air delivery, you know, that kind of 107.5, you know, smooth jazz, you know, 95.1. You know, it's a very controlled delivery, and I've done radio imaging, and that's one delivery. Keep in mind that there are several thousand other deliveries that you need to master for voiceover.
Wow.
And begin.
So would you say that, you mentioned earlier also that you were a bit of a comedian, that those type of deliveries also helped you in your craft?
Oh, sure. And you know, look at the comedy world. I mean, when we think of someone like Chris Rock, for me, one of the first things that comes to mind is his delivery. He's just got a way of saying it that cracks you up. And you look at the great performers, the great singers, okay, the great actors. It all boils down to their delivery, how they put those words across. Something about it sets them apart, creates distinction for them and who they are and how they express themselves. And that, I think, is the hallmark of great training. And doing work in comedy, physical comedy, on Uptown Comedy Club and different comedy clubs and colleges across the country gives me a wealth of experience to draw from, and then experience in so many different performing environments, so that there's pretty much nothing that script-wise, a producer can throw at me, or project-wise, anyone can throw at me, then I won't be able to say, okay, I might not exactly know how to approach this project, yet I'm definitely maybe 6 degrees of separation away from someone who does. And I know how to bring people together and work as a team and galvanize a team and lead a team.
Wow, that's great.
You know.
Now, I really like your website, and I'm sure our listeners and our archive listeners are going to get a chance to visit that. But what steps did you take to build your brand, and you know, what creative marketing techniques did you try?
Oh, fantastic question. My gosh, I love these questions. You're jogging my memory. They're so out of the box, okay? Because, you know, I knew that I was more than, you know, first of all, I'll back up a bit. You know, in the recording industry and in the media industry we work in, what we fight against the most, no matter what part of a career we're at, is being pigeonholed. We want to work against that. We have a signature brand or signature service that we deliver, yet many times we're multi-talented and there's so many other things that we can do. So my branding solution happened over a number of years, and I said to myself, you know, I'm not just an Afro-American voice or a young voice or this voice. I'm a cool voice. I've just got a really cool sound that can be applied to so many different genres and markets and approaches and projects. So then came the birth of the website Cool Voice Radio. On there, you can hear a variety of projects I've done, from commercials to movie trailers to point-of-purchase videos, industrials, on-hold messaging, audio tutorials, audio books, the gamut, and really see me flex my range. And I believe a good career is defined by range, how many different varied clients and approaches you can accommodate and execute and reach. So that it's not even not just in the voiceover business, it's in business in general. And be a business that serves the Afro-American community if you're a black business, yet also be a business that can serve the global community. Because as we move into this new millennium, we're not just businesses for black folks, we're businesses for all folks. I say still let's work to galvanize our own buying power, yet at the same time let's be aware that, just as Obama is aware, that he's serving a global audience and has to accommodate them. So you could try a variety of approaches. You could try branding yourself with a cool named website, direct mail response. Many times I follow up with my clients on a moment-to-moment, project-to-project basis. Okay, thanks for a great meeting.
Okay.
Thanks for a great recording session. You know, thanks for a great phone call. You know, you'd be amazed at how the word thank you can take you far in your business if you make sure it's consistently done and, you know, properly executed. Okay. And what other things could I share? Phone calls. That's one thing I'm getting better at now, too. You know, people seem to be afraid of calling people, you know, calling a lead.
Right.
You know, hi,
right.
Did you get that package in the mail? Or, just wanted to follow up and find out if you got a chance to review my material. I didn't quite hear from you, and not trying to press you to make a sale, just wanted to get your feedback to see if there's anything that we might have missed. You know, these are the things that you can do by getting on the telephone, dealing with whatever anxieties come up about being rejected, because keep in mind, you know, in terms of what I've done, you know how many no's I heard? I tried to get my voiceover career off the ground for 5 years. I got the door slammed in my face for 5 years.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, that's stressful.
I almost turned to weed, but I couldn't find any, so I was lucky.
You know, the one of the things that you said was about the phone calls, and that is something that really has to be stressed, because even with our show, we may have a big thinker that we contact over the internet or by mail or out in public, and, you know, they say, and if we don't ever get back to them, sometimes they're so busy, it's like it's just something that they remember in passing. So that's really important for the big thinkers out there to really take with them also, is that, you know, those return phone calls, those follow-up phone calls, they really do get the job done.
And may I also add that utilizing social networks in an effective fashion can be the definitive solution for your business. I was talking to a client today who got his new 10 paying clients exclusively from Twitter.com. Being able to utilize Twitter effectively, because it's different from Facebook. Facebook, in my opinion, it's all about the face. You know, this fun, oh, here's my face, and here's what I did when I was on vacation, and look at that cool photo. I think it can distract from getting business done, you know, whereas on Twitter, it's about that tweet and only about that tweet. You can make that tweet a link back to your website or a link back to your online store, e-commerce, or wherever, or whatever you want people to look at, and it's focused. And that it directs people and calls them to action, the action of taking a deeper, closer, more serious look at what you have to offer.
Now, that's funny that you bring that up also. Form that we have, that we've put together, one of our questions is, how did you find out about us? Because there are so many ways of websites and things. And for you, do you remember exactly where on the Internet or how you found us?
Yes. I'm sort of an unusual bird when it comes to that, in that I have a tendency to get on Blog Talk Radio and just surf around. I just surf around.
Okay.
I'll put in the search bar black businesses, or I'll put in marketing, or I'll put in black consumers, you know, or motivational speakers, and I'll see what comes up. If the log line of the show looks interesting to me, I'll click on and I'll take a listen to the show. I'll see if it's speaking my language, so to speak, you know, the language of inspiration and doing things. And the way you've organized, you have such a descriptive website which leads the guest or possible guest through everything from topics to when you want to be booked. I mean, what could be better?
Mm-hmm. Well, we try to, and I always like to say the word try, because we are continually learning. I feel you don't stop learning until you can't breathe. But we try to make everything very simple, easy, self-explanatory for our guests, so that they don't have to come back and, you know, ask us questions that were pretty much covered. So that's what we pretty much try to work on, is simplicity.
Fantastic. It works. It's a fantastic formula, and it's a wonderful balance between the high-tech world of new media, internet and such, and the simplicity of a website that's easily navigatable. Okay, is that a word? Navigatable, sorry. Easily.
Whatever it is. We make new words every day with the internet, so.
Indeed. Easily perused, and also web design, very important web design. And I could make some improvements to my website. I think it's a process. You're always working and improving on your online presence. You're doing everything from articles, okay, to widgets, to tagging, okay, to looking at your competitors' websites and seeing what is it about you that makes you different. I think ask yourself the question, what makes me different? What makes the service I provide different? What is it about me that will make me stand out if you lined me up against 10 other guys just like me and you were looking for a voice or whatever the service is, right? Okay.
Yeah, and that's definitely good thinking.
You see?
It just reminded me of something that you said earlier that I didn't get a chance to comment on, but you said that you took some time to look into yourself, and that's where all big thinking starts. It starts within. And you said, you know, one of the first things that stood out with you, which among many I'm sure is, you got a cool voice. And right around that, you built your entire branding. You built, and that name, that's a catchy name.
Yeah, Cool Voice Radio. And it's still evolving. I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of what Cool Voice Radio is and is going to be and can be and will be. And as I grow, it will grow. And it's taken on different hybrids, new hybrids. Recently, I've started a language school where people come and improve their voice.
Right.
I've got one course called Build a Sexy Voice. Another course Build Your Sexiest Voice. Another course called Eliminate Your Regional Accent, because I'm saying in the job market, in this depressed job market, only the best will do when it comes to your interview presentation. Your voice can do one of two things. It's either going to get you that job, or it's going to kill any chance of a career. When you open your mouth, I don't care how great you look, you know, a lot of brothers, you know, they get into the modeling, and, you know, I'm a short cat, you know, 5'7", you know, so the girls just kind of looked over my head a lot of times growing up, but you know, but when I started talking, they turned around, okay?
Wow.
Hit that vocal dexterity off, and sure, you know, you have to not just look great, you want to sound great.
Right. Right. Now that comes to also what we're talking about with education. So what books, mentors, or training resources would you suggest to our listeners that, you know, helped you move to your next level?
Oh, wow. One of my favorites, Andrew Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, would be one of my historic favorites. There's a new book I'm working with right now. It's a female author that I'm getting ready to interview on my own radio network. And her book is entitled The One Command. Ira Lovejoy. I recommend The One Command.
What's the name of your radio network? I mean, put it out there.
Oh, well, CoolVoiceRadioNetwork.com. It's actually /
okay.
CoolVoice Media. So that the sister company
right.
to Cool Voice Radio is Cool Voice Media. And what we're doing...
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you for that. We're acquiring all formats. Right now, it's very much in the talk vein. We're bringing on inspirational leaders and entrepreneurs and people in the health and fitness and mind and self-help development sector to talk about those real nuts and bolts techniques on how to work with yourself, how to deal with perhaps some of us have had a dysfunctional childhood or a childhood that wasn't all that surrounded by positivity, how to transform that. What's great about One Command is that it's exactly that, a one command. The mind wants to, because of how we've been conditioned, wants to stop us in our tracks if we say things like, wow, I look great today. There's somehow this little voice in us that says, no, you don't look great. You're fat. Forget it. You're never going to get that job. You know, you're deep in debt. You know, the negative mindset. And One Command says, all you have to do is say, I don't know how I fill in the blank. I only know that I do now and that I am fulfilled. So if you're looking to change your life, you say, I don't know how I change my life for the better. I only know that it has now and that I am fulfilled. You put it in the now. You know, if your bill's on your desk, you say, I don't know how I pay all these bills and have money to spare. I only know that I do now and that I am fulfilled. Now, you may think that that's complete hogwash, yet let me tell you, I've been working with this book for 2 weeks. The first day I started working with it, I got a call from an agent I hadn't heard from in years that sent me up for this major campaign. A few days later, I ended up getting unexpected money in the mail. Okay. Fast forward to this week, I started it off with these huge power meetings, all from the social networking I've been doing. You know, you have to work with yourself on a daily basis. And I'm a huge believer because I had a lot of tough dance choreographers growing up and tough acting teachers, people who would really crack the whip. And I'm a big stickler on that, a sort of self-appointed tough love. I'm about moving past your feelings, quote-unquote, you know, and moving into what you're doing. You know, it's like you may not feel like getting up. You may not feel like exercising. You don't have to feel like it to get on the bike and, you know, knock it out for a half hour. Your feelings are irrelevant. Either you're going to get on that bike or you're not.
And you know what? You find out that once you do decide to take that step you don't want to take, you feel so much better after you've completed it. That's what really pushes me. When I don't want to do something, it's just, you know what, just go ahead. You don't feel like it, and just do it. What else are you going to do?
You know, there's another book I'm looking to write in the next year or so, and it's discussing the mental health of African Americans, something that's so misunderstood, ignored, and downright exploited when it really comes down to it, in that learning how we can work with our own emotional life, understanding how our emotional life has arrived at the place it has based on our history of oppression and racism and prejudice, and what specific things need to be done with and for us now and on an ongoing basis to ensure our mental health, which will be the foundation for all of the success we experience. Okay, I'm a strong believer in psychotherapy. I'm a strong believer in talking to a counselor, meditation, okay, psychotherapeutic workshops and approaches and models that allow a person to release all those old resentments and all those that sort of old stuff that kind of blocks us, right? It's an ongoing process.
And that's something that we definitely need as more leaders in that field. We're winding the show down. I swear, sometimes 45 minutes can seem like 4 to 5 minutes. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Xavier Paul, for your interview. It was great. For those listeners who want to find out more about him, you can visit www.coolvoiceradio.com. That's www.coolvoiceradio.com. You can email him at coolvoiceradio.com. voiceover guy at AOL.com. We thank you all for tuning in, and we really appreciate you, Mr. Paul, coming on and sharing your knowledge with us.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. You know, can we stay off and stay on and talk chat for a bit after the show?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll just call you right back. We got 3 seconds left, and we're gonna end this with a song.